If we pray for another, that doesn't mean we like them. That doesn't mean we approve of what they did. That doesn't mean we're going to walk hand in hand with them for the rest of our life. What it means is we're tired of letting others make us sick. And we just don't have to be that way if we don't want to. Very simple process. Now, the next part of our inventory is going to be fears and sex. And Joe leaned over here a while ago, and he said, Charlie, I've got a headache. And I don't feel like sex this afternoon. How about we adjourn for the day, and we'll have sex on Sunday morning? Does that sound all right?
Yeah.
Thank you all for being here today.
I've been sober since November the 3rd, 1973. For that, I'm truly, truly thankful. Yeah. And it's truly by God's grace. And I want to tell a little story before we get started this morning about these three little boys, about like David and Charlie and I. They were 22, 23 years old, and they were still in the sixth grade. You have to kind of get the picture there. And the principal wanted them out of the sixth grade desperately, so he called them in the office one day and said, boys, I want to ask you a question. If you get the answer to these questions, you go into the seventh grade. So they asked David, said, David, said, what is it that women have two of that men like to get their hands on? And he thought for a long time, and he finally said, well, women have two hands, men like to hold women's hands. He said, that's good, David. You go into seventh grade. He looked at Charlie and said, now, Charlie, what is it that men have one of that women like to get their hands on? And he thought for a long time, and finally he said, well, men have one billfold, women like to get their hands on a half billfold. I said, good, you're in the seventh grade. He looked over at me and said, now, Joe, I'm going to ask you a simple question. I said, God, I hope so. I missed those first two. The main problem the alcoholic centers in the mind. I'm through.
All right. Morning, everybody. My name's Charlie Fireman. I'm a very grateful recovering alcoholic. Because I'm a member of the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, and with the grace of the power that I found through the 12-step program of Alcoholics Anonymous, I haven't found necessary to take a drink for 11,848 days today, one day at a time, and for this I'm very grateful. God, you guys look good this morning. Not a resentment left in the whole bunch, isn't that something?
Yeah. Well, there's one back there.
How many of you went back to where you were staying last night and worked on at least one resentment? Could I see your hands? Oh, yeah, lots of you did. How many of you got rid of at least one resentment last night? Yeah, great. How many of you did we give a new resentment to yesterday afternoon?
Yeah, pray for us. We need the prayers and you need the practice.
We followed a little procedure yesterday in our inventory process in which we reviewed our resentments, and we went to the examples on page 65 in the big book, and we found out that we would fill those columns out one column at a time, always starting from the top, going to the bottom. And by doing so, while our mind is on one thing and one thing only, we can do a much better job as we write those things down. As we filled out our first column, we were amazed to find out how many resentments we really did have. Most of us just thought maybe one or two, but as we began to fill out sheet after sheet after sheet, we're amazed at the number of resentments we really do have, and we begin to realize how much those resentments control our thinking and dominate our lives for us. And we made a decision, step three, to let God direct our thinking. If the resentments do, then God can't, and it was just that simple. In the second column, we put down the cause of the resentment, just using a few short words, writing down what they did to us or whatever we were resentful about, and etc. We found out in the second column, as we filled it out, that really it's what they've done to us that's got us upset. Rather than them, it's what they've done. We begin to see that it's not so much people as what they've done to us that's got us upset. We could take Mr. Brown out, put Mr. Green in, and we'd have the same kind of resentment if he did the same thing to us. Third column, for the first time, as we filled it out, we begin to realize where anger comes from. We begin to realize that anger is a threat to one of the, comes from a threat to one of those basic instincts of life. And we also, we talked about the fact that if our basic instincts of life were under control, if our relationship with God is right, they could do about whatever they wanted to us, and we don't have to be angry over it. But by the same token, if our relationship with God's not right, our basic instincts are not under control, about anything they do to us is going to cause us to have a resentment. So we really learned three good things just by filling out the sheet. We looked at it some more, and we began to realize the hours that we had actually squandered in resentments. We began to see that those things really never did us any good. Certainly never made us any money. Certainly never straightened up a relationship with another human being. Never made us feel better, only made us feel worse. And we began to realize that we had squandered literally thousands of hours in resentments toward other people. And that was one of the bad things about them. But we also found out that wasn't the worst thing about a resentment. The worst thing is it blocked us off from God. And blocked off from God, we don't feel good. And after a while, we become insane, and we believe it's okay to drink, and we end up drunk all over again. And we begin to really see those things. We begin to see how useless those resentments really were. As we look back to the list again, we begin to see that the world and its people really dominated us throughout our entire lifetime. Through our resentments toward them, they controlled our thinking, they controlled our decisions, they controlled our actions. We don't like to look stupid. So a lot of those resentments disappeared simply when we saw the stupidity behind them. We also had a prayer that we could use in order to get rid of those resentments that don't automatically disappear to the point we could become resentment-free. And we found out if our mind is freed of resentments, God can't leave another hole in our head. We got enough already that those resentments would have to be replaced with something else. The only thing to replace them would be the opposite of the resentments. Where our mind used to be filled with resentments, now we have a little love, patience, tolerance, compassion, and goodwill toward our fellow man. And the great thing is, we found out we didn't have to go to any other fellowships, read any other books to find love, patience, tolerance, compassion, and goodwill. If God dwells in each of us, and I'm sure He does, the book says so, then that's always been a part of our makeup. Now, where our mind used to be occupied with resentments, now it's filled with God's thinking in that part of the mind. We're in much less chance of drinking than we were before we started the inventory process. We did one more thing. We went back to that particular resentment, and we looked to see the part that we played in it. In the fourth column we had on a sheet, we looked to see what we did to set this thing in motion and cause those people to retaliate against us, which in turn caused us to resent them. And we found out in the majority of the resentments, in my case, every one of them, that I had made a decision somewhere in the past based on self, which later placed me in a position to be hurt. And those people retaliated against me, and then I resented them for doing so, and then I played the resentment over and over and over in my head, gradually distorted the picture, transferred all blame to them, made myself as pure as a driven soul. And if you're practicing alcoholic, you got to develop those kind of skills. We couldn't live with ourselves otherwise. So I begin to see, really, for the first time, that it's not them at all. It's me and my decisions that I've made, which put me in a position to be hurt. In the fifth column, we look to see which character defect is involved. And we found out the book talks about selfishness, dishonesty, self-seeking, frightened, and inconsiderate. And those are the basic character defects that all human beings have to a certain extent. And I found out that if I wasn't so selfish, maybe I wouldn't do those things to hurt other people. If I wasn't so dishonest, maybe I wouldn't put myself in a position to be hurt at a later time. If I wasn't so self-seeking, frightened, and inconsiderate of others, that maybe I could get along a little better in this world. I begin to see for the first time the things I'm going to need to change if I want to live in the future with a little peace of mind, serenity, and happiness. We also said in the fifth column, we see the exact nature of the wrongs we're going to talk about when we take step five with another human being. In the fifth column, we see the character defects we're going to be willing to turn loose of. In the fifth column, we see the shortcomings we're going to ask God to take away. We also found that the majority of the people at column one were people or institutions that we had harmed, and they'll come off of that sheet. And then they'll be used later on for steps 8 and 9 when we get to that part of the program.